Dear ones, before we continue in our youth service and chapter 25, in this section of speech, we are going to ask any one of the dear brethren so we can open with prayer. Who would like to be able to share the prayer with us before we begin with our youth study? May I meet your mic?
Dear and gracious Heavenly Father Jesus, we thank you so much for this beautiful privilege of being able to gather together on your blessed Sabbath day. Thank you for this dear family that we have together by your grace. And we pray, Lord God, that you'll please bring healing to those who are not feeling well. Let your Holy Spirit truly bless them and the anointing oil of your love truly pour upon them that they feel healing very quickly. We pray, Almighty God, that as we go ahead and we listen to the study that is coming, that you open our hearts and minds to receive all the beautiful blessings that are in it, and that we may take it to our heart and meditate on it and then live it and carry it to others. We know that there is much work to do, dear Lord, and we pray that you'll please, by your grace, empower us to do it, to meet the needs of those who are around us, our neighbors, our friends, our co-workers, those in the street, that you give us the fearlessness that we need to be able to reach them and talk to them and care for them right where they are. We wish to be like you, Lord Jesus, in everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that we think, that your name may be glorified. We pray, O Lord God, that you continue to show us many wonderful, wondrous things out of your beautiful law, and that we live it rejoicefully. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. Dear ones, the last time that our dear brother was sharing with us, we left off, and we are going to just, for the sake of refreshing our memories, we are in the section speech, and I'm going to place the information in the room for those that are not able to see the screen. Where we left off, dear one, in the paragraph of Christ Object Lesson, page 335, paragraph 3, and it reads, "The culture and right use of the voice are greatly neglected, even by persons of intelligence and Christian activity. There are many who read or speak in so low or so rapid a manner," I am guilty of that "they cannot be readily understood. Some have a thick, indistinct utterance, others speak in a high key, in sharp, shrill tone that are painful to the hearers. Texts, hymns, and the report and other papers presented before the public assembly are sometimes read in such a way that they are not understood, and often so that their force and impressiveness are destroyed." And if I have done that, dear ones, I beg forgiveness, but praise the Lord that we have a family here in our room that can be able to aid us with those weaknesses. So we are going to continue in the section where it says, "This is an evil that can and should be corrected." Who would like to take that paragraph, dear one? May you unmute your mic.
"This is an evil that can and should be corrected. On this point, the Bible gives instruction. Of the Levites who read the scriptures to the people in the days of Ezra, it is said, they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and gave the sense and cause them to understand the reading. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8. Christ's Object Lessons, page 335, paragraph 4.
By diligent effort, all may acquire the power to read intelligibly and to speak in full, clear, round tone in a distinct and impressive manner. By doing this, we may greatly increase our efficiency as workers for Christ. For every Christian is called to make known to others the unsearchable riches of Christ. Therefore, he should seek for perfection in speech. He should present the word of God in a way that will commend it to the hearers. God does not design that his human channel shall be uncouth. It is not his will that man shall belittle or degrade the heavenly current that flows through him to the world.
We should look to Jesus, the perfect pattern. We should pray for the aid of the Holy Spirit, and in his strength, we should seek to train every organ for perfect work. Especially is this true of those who are called to public service. Every minister and every teacher should bear in mind that he is given to the people a message that involves eternal interests. The truth spoken will judge them in the great day of the final reckoning. And with some souls, the manner of the delivering the message will determine its reception or rejection. Then let the word be so spoken that it will appeal to the understanding and impress the heart. Slowly, distinctly, and solemnly should it be spoken, yet with the earnestness which its importance demands.
Amen. Is there anyone that would like to be able to share for these few paragraphs that we have just read? Maybe unmute your mic.
It is, if I may, it is beautiful to know that there is a perfect way of speech written in the Word of God. We know that speech is important. If we went to school in some manner, we know that we have to speak in a certain way, or speech is important, public speaking and all the different things. But to see it from the Word of God in the way that it is supposed to be delivered, it's on a different level, and it covers all the levels in this world, and I am so thankful for that.
Amen. I want to share with that too. And there is a scripture in the Word of God that goes to the effect of a kind word turneth away wrath. I think it's something to that effect. And I believe that that also pertains to clear speech that's also mixed with compassion and mercy, because we can speak very well and we can have the intelligence of being able to know information, but to be able, from my understanding from Nehemiah 8:8, to be able to deliver it well so that those who are hearing it may truly understand the context of it, the power of it, with the compassion and love of God mixed in it, I think that that's very important, because many things can be contentions, ways can be, and anger can be resolved and diminished with a kind word, and with rightful speaking. We can do that even in very tense situations,
and which may get a bit tenser with things on the horizon. So we need to really know how to speak with compassion, knowing that the dear soul that is before us, who may be agitated, many times does not understand what is moving them to such agitation. So by God's grace and love, for their sake and for the name of Jesus' sake, we have to help them understand that with the kindness of our words and with compassion, yet also at times with firmness. It can be done by God's grace in practice. So that's what I believe.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brethren. Okay, I'm going to try to be able to read what has been posted. Just give me a few seconds. Okay, dear sister, she shared, Amen, brother, the same words can be perceived differently by delivery, projection, and tone. And she also shared it could be instructive or destructive. And we have also sharing by the brother, it says true, and at times the devil can cause us to hear something that were never spoken. Anybody else would like to be able to share their ones? We are going to proceed. We are in page 336, paragraph 4, where it begins, the right culture and use of the power of speech has to do with every line of a Christian work.
The right culture and the use of the power of speech has to do with every line of Christian work. It enters into the home life and into all our intercourse with one another. We should accustom ourselves to speak in pleasant tones, to use pure and correct language and words that are kind and courteous. Sweet, kind words are as dew and gentle showers on the soul, to the soul. The scripture says of Christ that grace was poured into his lips that he might know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Psalm 45:2, Isaiah 50, verse 4. And the Lord bids us, let your speech always be always with grace. Colossians 4, verse 6. That it may minister grace unto the hearers. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Christ Object Lessons, page 336, paragraph 4.
In seeking to correct or reform others, we should be careful of our words. They will be a savor of life, or of death unto death. In giving reproof or counsel, many indulge in sharp, severe speech, words not adapted to heal the wounded soul. By these ill-advised expressions, the spirit is chafed, and often the erring ones are stirred to rebellion. All who would advocate the principles of truth need to receive the heavenly oil of love. Under all circumstances, reproof should be spoken in love. Then our words will reform, but not exasperate. Christ, by his Holy Spirit, will supply the force and the power. This is his work.
Not one word is to be spoken unadvisedly. No evil speaking. No frivolous talk. No fretful repining or impure suggestions will escape the lips of him who is following Christ. The Apostle Paul, writing by the Holy Spirit, says,
"You go."
I'm trying to find it.
Right here, where it says, "Let not corrupt," at the very top.
Can you point to it, please?
I'm sorry, this is, I don't know, maybe you're on the phone. Just for the sake of continuing, I'm going to try to read that top one because it's all the way on the top. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." Ephesians 4:29. Just a minute. A corrupt communication does not mean only words that are vile. It means any expression contrary to holy principles and pure and undefiled religion. It includes impure hints and covert insinuation of evil. Unless instantly resisted, these lead to great sin. Christ Object Lesson 337, paragraph 2. And then I will let Adir want to be able to continue on paragraph 3. Who would like to take paragraph 3? So, dear sister, if you want to continue, you could take.
Sure, my dear sister. "Upon every family, upon every individual Christian, is laid the duty of bearing the wary against corrupt speech. When in the company of those who indulge in foolish talk, it is our duty to change the subject of conversation if possible. By the help of the grace of God, we shall quietly drop words of or introduce a subject that will turn the conversation into a profitable channel."
If anyone would like to be able to share in these few media paragraphs, maybe on YouTube might do so.
Yes, I would like to touch on that too, because I think that it is very, very important to maintain that Christian and godly decorum in speech, because it is easy to drift away if we allow ourselves to get caught up with someone else's, joking and jesting that may seem on the surface as okay, yet however, that kind of jesting and joking in the Word of God, we're supposed to restrain ourselves from, because often it leads to sinful thoughts or sinful words that support the wrong jesting and that help the person to stay in it, as if though it is a great means of just humor. And in that kind of humor, I've heard a proverb said that something along the lines that in a jesting or a joke, truth is spoken. So sometimes a person will, just like it says, hit evil hints of things, may joke about something that they really believe in that's not right. And they'll make it some kind of a funny thing. And it isn't a funny thing. And I believe that we find that in many areas of our life as we're out and about. And we have to, I believe it's true, we have to help to guide that. And it also pertains to our own self. We have to also be careful that we ourselves aren't joking at someone else's expense too. Whether it is something they're wearing or something, a new haircut or some other thing that has happened that we think it might be funny to joke about, but for them it may be very hurtful and insulting, and some are called thin-skinned because
they can't take a joke. Well, they're not really being thin-skinned in my opinion in that way, because they were hurt. So I think that it's important. And the Lord himself always carried himself with never a joking, frivolous word at all, but every word that came from his mouth was health and life and peace and grace and strength and upbuilding and not tearing down, and instilled courage and faithfulness in God and his ability to work wonderful things and to save. So I believe that as his children and as vessels of his grace, and we pray to be true vessels filled with the Holy Spirit, we have to then allow the Lord to clean us up in that area too, so that we can be those vessels. That's my understanding as how I see it by God's grace.
I also would like to add to that, if I can. I believe at the beginning it says it's a great evil that needs to be corrected. And I might not be saying that in the full length of what it was saying at the beginning, but it is indeed an evil that the world has embraced in a way of doing great harm to a lot of people in different times and different situations and ways. And it come across as a trivial thing or as a, you know, just a casual, and it's supposed to be accepted as long as the end is said to be a joke, or it's joking or in a joking manner. And I thank God that we as Christians, the Lord has specific instruction as to that is not okay, and that we might be mindful that it's an evil, and that to address the speech and our words, and that if we are going to say something, that it is, that we can be mindful that it could be pleasant in God's hearing. And I think that it would be a good guide, because, you know, as humans, we tend to sometimes go off in that direction. But I think that a way to guide us is to say into ourselves, will this be pleasing to God if I say this or do this?
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brethren. I'm going to just go back a little bit to acknowledge some of the information that has been placed in the room. Let me just go back a little bit. Dear Sister Joan, remember that to those who you speak are beloved by God. Amen. And let us go down a little bit. From our dear brother says, on one side, we are not to wear our hearts on our shoulders that can be easily hurt. On the other side, we need to be careful of feelings, of the feelings of others. And one more, when correcting people tend to get an attitude. Is there anybody else that would like to share? So in case we have to proceed, we are in Christ Object Lesson, page 337, paragraph 4, and it begins, it is the work of parents to train their children to proper habits of speech. Who would like to take the next paragraph? Do you want?
It is the work of parents to train their children to proper habits of speech. The very best school for this culture is the home life. From the earliest years, the children should be taught to speak respectfully and lovingly to their parents and to one another. They should be taught that only words of gentleness, truth, and purity must pass their lips. Let the parents themselves be daily learners in the school of Christ. Then, by precept and example, they can teach their children the use of sound speech that cannot be condemned. Titus 2:8. This is one of the greatest and most responsible of their duties.
As followers of Christ, we should make our words such as to be a help and encouragement to one another in the Christian life. Far more than we do, we need to speak of the precious chapters in our experience. We should speak of the mercy and loving kindness of God, of the matchless depths of the Savior's love. Our words should be words of praise and thanksgiving. If the mind and heart are full of the love of God, this will be revealed in the conversation. It will not be a difficult matter to impart that which enters into our spiritual life. Great thoughts, noble aspirations, clear perceptions of truth, unselfish purposes, yearnings for piety and holiness, will bear fruit in words that reveal the character of the heart treasure. When Christ is thus revealed in our speech, it will have power in winning souls to Him.
Amen. Does anyone would like to be able to share their thoughts in this particular paragraph? May you unmute your mic. We have a sharing text that says, what are we to do when our relative belittle us?
I want to touch on a couple of things from before and then what was just said also. It has to do with when we are sharing truth. I believe that it's very important that we are actually sharing truth and not just facts. And I believe that there is a good distinction in this because I can spew out lots of facts, and they may even be clear facts, but the way in which I present them may come across quite caustic. And though they are facts, they are not really what is in the spirit of truth, because truth, from my understanding in Scripture, does not just bring deliverance from something that one is bound in, including my own self, but I believe it's supposed to also bring peace and grace and kindness and mercy and compassion for the soul and for even my own self as I read it. If I read truth as just cold facts, I will miss, from my belief, I'm going to miss the mercy. I'm going to miss the grace. I'm going to miss the compassion that is in those facts if I don't see them as truths that deliver, truths that save, truths that bind up in grace. So I think that sometimes, and I've experienced it myself, and I'm guilty of that in the past, of stating things that are facts, but not in a truthful way, where it is truly in grace and humility on my part, and compassion towards those who are hearing it. So I think that that is also important too. And I wanted to touch on too that concerning speech, I have to say that I was blessed in that way of being raised up not to take in the speech of the streets. And we were corrected in our home not to speak that way, but to speak in a way that is intelligible, that is thoughtful, that is, how could I say, clear and distinct. So that was very helpful in that area. So I guess it is those things that I wanted to share because it makes a difference in a life even later on, even if someone is not going to live for the Lord. Somehow, I believe that speech still can wind up being more pleasant to deal with, listen to. So I hope my thought was clear. Sorry if it's not.
No, dear brother. We are going to also, thank you for sharing. We are going to go back a little bit up because there is a lot of information that is being set on the side. Okay. There was a question that our dear sister said, what are we to do when a relative belittled us and our dear brethren was able to share. Besides that, there's a comment that I brought us safely to Christ. I say pray, for we have to worry about not only the person that is speaking, but we have to be also aware that the one that is truly speaking through that person is the enemy. And then we have to think about in what way we could pull that individual from his mouth. And that is the part that I would say pray. Because sometimes they don't really know that at that very moment, we yield ourselves to become a servant to obey either to good or bad. And as a person that may be God-fearing, you may see a little bit more clear than a person that may not have no idea what is happening. From my past experience, not everybody knows that you're a Christian. Nobody knows that, you know, you're doing certain things that is related to the Bible. But because no one knows your spiritual life, sometimes when you react, it could be taken when people doesn't really know that much about your stand. So I will say pray first. And the reason why is because we don't know the heart that is being in front of us. And we don't even know our own heart of how we're going to relate. Before, I just felt that I was free enough to be able to share with the individuals as they kind of know me. But I have also one of the biggest weakness, which is a language barrier. What it is that I may feel in certain things, what it means, it might not mean the same for them. So the Holy Spirit is the greatest guide to be able to tell us in what way we can be able to relate to the individual that feels that either we are being belittled or we are doing it or that person is doing it. So to me, I have experienced that we can't even trust ourselves because we don't know in what way that individual is coming, what kind of injury, what kind of childhood trauma. Because, you know, I never knew about childhood trauma till I came to this country. And because back then in our country, when we did something wrong, we were corrected. And there's no such thing as trauma. It was called correction. So I have learned when I became a mom, I started to notice that I didn't want to raise my son the way I was raised. So I always try to keep an open way that he can communicate to me what he's actually experienced because the feelings are real. But then we have the tools, according to what we had just read, to direct that communication towards something, not only to help that person, but also help yourself to be able to heal. Because the way how you are raising your child with the knowledge now of the advantage of having the word of God and the experiences of having brothers and sisters that you can sit down and talk to and go into counsel, because the scripture and also the spirit of prophecy tell us that there is safety in a multitude of counsel. So to check yourself, sometimes you have to allow other people to be able to kind of see it so you could get out of where you are and can be able to help you along with that. So that's why I said pray. Because what seems to be right for you may not be right for the person in front of you. And then here, our dear sister says, speech is intertwined with emotion. If one is angry, it is conveyed by attitude and speech. This goes back to the 7 laws of health. Yes, dear sister, breathe. And our dear sister also said, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Very true. And there's another one for our dear sister. So sorry, 8 laws of health. I stand corrected. It's okay, dear sister, we understood. And there's another sister that also said, we got in trouble for speaking street talk. Sometimes people may not understand, and then when it's a Christian, it's kind of misunderstood when we're not supposed to even do so. If we're representing the Lord, that kind of make even the person listening very confused, either we Christian or not. I also all this, as the brother said, Jude chapter 1:22 said, and of some have compassion, making a difference. 1:23 says, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. And continuing on, our dear sister also said, let words of mouth and the meditation of, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Amen. And there's one more. We need the Holy Spirit in order to know what to do. Amen. I stand and agree. Let me see what else. Our dear brother also said childhood trauma. Yeah. And let me see if I touch upon everyone's comment. Praise the Lord. I'm going to need a help. If someone can be able to tell me when is the time for us to be able to turn to the other servant. But meanwhile, let's continue because this is very important. We are going to continue on Christ Object Lesson, page 338, paragraph 1, where it begins. As followers of Christ, we should make our words such as to be a help and an encouragement to one another in the Christian life. Who would like to take the following paragraph, dear ones?
I think we should, we're starting at, we should speak of Christ to those who know him not.
Okay, thank you so much, dear sister.
We should speak of Christ to those who know him not. We should do as Christ did. Wherever he was in the synagogue, by the wayside, in the boat, just out a little from the island, the land that at priest, the Pharisees' feast, on the table of the publican, he spoke to men of the things pertaining to the higher life, the things of nature, the events of daily life were bound up by him with the words of truth. The hearts of his hearts of hearers were drawn to him, for he had healed the sick and had comforted their sorrowing ones and had taken their children in his arms and blessed them when he opened his lips to speak, their attention was riveted upon him, and every word was to some soul a savior of life unto life.
Christ Object Lesson, page 338, paragraph 2.
Good job, dear ones. Just give me a few seconds because I needed to put more. I don't know if we can be able to continue or we can stop right here. Can I have a little bit of counsel concerning that? Can we stop right here or we have a little bit more to read?
Well, I have a comment that I'd like to make. And dear sister, however long you want to take the meeting is up to you. You're in control, dear sister, and thank you for taking the lead for me today. John the Baptist, when he was confronting the Pharisees that came to him, said, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth fruits meet for repentance. And then Christ, when he was dealing with the adulteress, Mary Magdalene, said, I do not condemn you. Go and sin no more. So between John the Baptist and Christ, two different methods are brought out in confronting individuals that were in sin. Which one had the Holy Spirit? And the question is, both of them had the Holy Spirit. Amen. So the Holy Spirit impressed John the Baptist to use very strong words to deal with the Pharisees because their hearts were very stubborn. So they needed something more powerful to break through that stubbornness. Christ dealing with Mary Magdalene, he was impressed to use a much more gentle approach to reach her heart because she had been caught in a trick, if you will, and led into sin in that particular instance. So we have two different ways that were brought out at two different times with different individuals. One was strong, one was gentle, and yet the Holy Spirit was involved in the very words that were spoken. Now, some will look at John the Baptist's words and say, oh, he was without Christ. Look at how he treated the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That's only going to embolden them to continue in sin. That's not going to win their hearts. But we need to recognize that the Holy Spirit at times will lead individuals to use very strong words for a very good purpose. And we need to avoid getting on the judgment seat and determine that, well, we would not use those strong words, so then John the Baptist must be at fault for using those strong words. So we can't judge others in how they have treated those in sin by our own standard of what we would do or not do. We have to allow the Holy Spirit the freedom to impress and to use his agents at any time with any individual as he sees is necessary in that situation. Now, on another side, when individuals come to us, when individuals come to us and they use words that we don't like, we need to avoid allowing self to come in between those words and ourselves, our heart. Because if we allow self to come in, self is going to get riled, self is going to get hurt, self is going to fight back, there's going to be rebellion and everything else, because that's what self does. We have to come to a position of being willing to accept reproof, even from our enemies, and give it weight. Is what they say true or not? Are we indeed guilty of the very things that they have brought to our attention or are accusing us of? That's part of loving the truth. It doesn't matter who speaks it, it's still truth. So even if our enemy comes to us, and of course they want to hurt us, so they're going to use all kinds of words, we need to come to the aspect of crucifying self so that we're able to impartially weigh the words that were spoken in reproof to us and see if they're valid, if they're truthful. Now, if we take the time to weigh the words and we see that they are accurate, then it doesn't matter who spoke them. It's still the truth. We're still guilty. We still need to repent, regardless of who brought us the truth, regardless of how that truth was spoken, whether it was spoken in anger, whether it was spoken in a way that was unflattering, whether it was spoken from a very strong, blunt, forceful way, it's still truth. So we need to get to the point that self is crucified when someone's pointing out our wrongs, weigh what they say, and see if it's true or not, pleading with the Holy Spirit to reveal to us ourselves, you know. A lot of times we're blind to the very thing that others can clearly see. So regardless of how reproof comes to us, we need to love the truth enough to take the time to investigate. If we see that what they say is incorrect, then we don't need to respond in the same way that they responded to us. We can respond back in a Christian way, revealing to them that what they accused us of is false and that they need to repent for speaking words that are false. So we need to avoid Ellen White says we're not to wear our heart on our sleeves, right? But we also need to allow the rough edges of our character to be refined away, to be polished away, to be smoothed down, so that we're not so abrasive to others and that we don't become offended so easily when someone is abrasive to us. Because the whole idea is what they say true or not? If it's true, then we need to repent of it. And we need to avoid the temptation to say, well, they didn't come to me in the right way, or they didn't use the right words. I am guilty of impatience, but they could have approached me in a so much better way, a so much more pleasing way, so that I didn't respond in a way that I blamed them for, you know. So it's like someone comes to you a reproof and you're guilty of what they're saying, but then you respond back to them saying, how dare you say that? It's not going to achieve any good if what you're guilty of is true. So if the Spirit is inspiring someone to reprove us in a very strong way, we need to allow the Spirit the right to do so, and we need to accept it if it's true and repent. Sorry for rambling, Durin.
No, you're not wrong. I don't want to say the wrong word, but no, you're not doing that in the wrong. It is good that you can be able to touch upon certain topics, especially a topic that is so dear, especially now. When the Holy Spirit does the work, the Holy Spirit also allow the hearer and the receiver to both know that the Holy Spirit is the one that's speaking, because they have to yield themselves to become servant to obey. If the Holy Spirit is not recognized, then that's when self come in. If there is no follow-up to be able to allow the person that doesn't identify the Holy Spirit to be able to see that it spoke, that's why the Word of God now comes to confirm. You see how you just quoted something from the Spirit of Prophecy? Now, with the Bible. Sometimes you bring the Bible and the Spirit of Prophecy. But the individual, just like when we hear the story about Mary Magdalene or any one of the members of the families in the Bible, it tells you that when the person was so caught up in their feelings, even when truth was given to them, their ears was closed because their feeling was greater in the sense. I don't know how, if I can be able to explain. Just give an example. Mary Magdalene was so broken with what happened with the death of Christ that even in the midst of her tears, that it was really blocking her, even for the comfort that was being given to her at that time. And that is something that we all as human beings can be able to understand that it's a hindering, because it's so heavily felt that what they feel, they have it as more of a concrete evidence than the evidence itself. So by you sharing the information, we hear it, but also we can also go and say, Lord, if these things are so, please help us to be able to come to that understanding. Here comes the precept and, you know, line upon line and precept upon precept. So you wasn't, I don't know if the word is rumbling. At the contrary, it is something for us to be able to know in what way we can examine what it is that we believe and where we stand in. Okay, so I really thank you for that. And then let me just go back a little bit up. Forgive me for changing the information in the screen. It's because I finished onto one particular paragraph, but we have a little bit of minute to finish with that so we can begin a new section, which is called influence. Let me just go back into the chat. Just give me a few seconds. Okay, I believe we left off on checking on the side of the comment. This is to say, I am told you have a smart mouth. This is true, but I respond to others the way they approach me. And your brother answered, just give me a few seconds to be able to scroll down. Hold on. If someone can be able to see the comment as well, I think my computer is not moving down. Okay, here it comes. Okay, dear brother said, it is best to respond to others the way the Holy Spirit impress. Okay. Okay, do I have mostly everything? Okay. We are going to continue for the sake, or we can continue this conversation after our service. We are going to end with this last paragraph. Who would like to take this paragraph? This is in page 339, paragraph 1, beginning, so it should be with us.
So it should be with us. Wherever we are, we should We should watch the opportunities of speaking to others of the Savior. If we follow Christ's example in doing good, good. Hearts will open to us as they did to him. Can you stop moving that thing around? Not abruptly, but with tact born of divine love, we can tell them of him who is the chiefest among 10,000 and the one altogether lovely, Song of Solomon 5:10-16. This is the very highest work in which we can employ the talent of speech. It was given to us that we might present Christ as the sin-pardoning Savior. Christ's Object Lessons 339, paragraph 1.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. And I'm sorry, brother. I was trying to be able to minimize it so it won't look so scrambled. So next, Sabbath by God's grace, we will begin with just another topic. It says influence. If someone can be able to just chop it up for me, if we are able to continue covering for our dear brother. It says the life of Christ was an ever-widening, sharpest influence. And that will be, let me just write it in there in the room. We are going to take a few minutes, dear ones, that can be able to set up. But the conversation can continue by God's grace. Very, very important. May you all have a wonderful rest, dear one, and have the section to be able to go and walk around and try your best to stretch your legs for the next service by God's grace.